Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, he's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
And I welcome you today to CSC Talk Radio. It's my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to be here with you today. And I have with me today Dr. Kimberly Gandy. She's an MD and PhD. She's a pediatric cardiac transplant surgeon and trained at Stanford University in immunology with her husband. She also practiced at the University of Kansas Medical Center, where the most recent person exhibiting the Ebola symptoms is now being treated. And I'm bringing, she told me to just call her Kim, but I'm bringing Dr. Gandy on today, and we're going to talk about Ebola a little bit. So if you have some questions, now is a good time to give us a call at 877-895-5410. Kim, welcome to CSC Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I have my report here from the Kansas Hospital, the University of Kansas Hospital, and they say that he does not have the Ebola. What do you know about this report?
And so I do want to throw out a caveat. So I know the data somehow got transmitted that I'm practicing at KU. I am not, so I am not a KU physician, but we are very close in proximity to that area. So what we know is that I think the CMO of KU called this from the beginning. So the patient presented to them on Monday, and he was a medic from West. He had been practicing off the coast of West Africa and had been back in the United States for 5 days, and initially thought he was improving, and then presented to KU whenever his it seems like his symptoms were not getting better, and he may have been having fevers again. And he was immediately brought into containment and treated, which by all reports is even beyond what is determined to be CDC-recommended sort of levels for this treatment. And subsequently, the testing has revealed that he does not have the disease. Actually, the press report that the CMO of the hospital gave that day, he anticipated that this individual would not have Ebola just because of the time course of his symptomatology, and indeed he appears to have been right.
Okay, so we can trust that report, is what you're saying. We can trust this report.
Well, it's been now, and I haven't checked to see if it's been sent for verification at the CDC. So, in other words, biological samples have been sent for verification at the CDC. And what we can say is that with all knowledge that we have of the disease at this process, that it indicates that he does not have disease in his body at this point in time.
Okay. Well, then I also have this report, and I wished I'd talked to you when you called this morning. I wished I'd have told you about this one, but I hadn't really read it yet. But it's coming from the World Health Organization. It's actually Natural News, and I don't know if you're familiar with them or not. They're pretty reliable. And this report is coming from the World Health Organization that Ebola has a longer incubation period than what we've been told in the past. It's not 21 days, but it's 42 days. And I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
I haven't seen the actual scientific data on that. In other words, from what they are basing that information on.
Okay.
But to be honest with you, it would not surprise me that we learn more about the disease as it progresses. For some of us that were sort of, for lack of a better word, intimately on the lines whenever HIV reared its head way back when, we did learn more about that disease with every week. If, with every day, with every week, with every month. especially when we initially began working with that disease. So as you remember, that disease also originated in Africa.
Yes.
And then, some 60 to 80 years later, then moved over to the United States. So not that different from what we're actually seeing here. And we literally were learning things all the time, and including different things about the incubation period. It may very well be that incubation periods are different in different individuals. So that range may indeed change as we see more people, infected with the disease.
Well, it says
go ahead.
It says here that the WHO's report found that it explained that 95% of Ebola infections experience incubation period within the widely reported 21-day period, that there are a certain percentage of them, and it's like you say, it may have to do with somebody's immune system as well, I would expect.
Exactly.
And
that's the beauty about where we are today versus where we were, 20 to 30 years ago when we started, working with the HIV virus, is that we do know a lot more about genetic susceptibilities. And so these kind of profiles can be characterized much more quickly than they could have been back then, but it's still going to be a long time before that's done. And so in reality, as you suggest, we'll have to behave with every day, with the data that we get at hand. We'll probably still have to develop health policies based on what's going to happen in the majority, just because that's how things are probably, but with a healthy respect for what might happen in the minority.
Okay, well, in Africa and these other countries where this has hit, they've only had it's been 70% fatality. Do you expect it to be the same type of severity here in the United States?
No, I don't. And especially not if we jump on top of it. And I think that's one of the benefits of living in a health system, such as ours. So as upset as we can get about the problems that we have with our health system, it is still phenomenal compared to other systems. And the resources that we have are exceptional. And so, these poor individuals where this disease has taken root these individuals, they have some resources to education, to cleanliness, to, any of the treatment measures that we have, even to IV fluids, even to housing. So they don't have the resources that we have here. Just look at the numbers of people that have been treated here to date. So we know of six people that have been treated in the United States having had a diagnosis of Ebola, and only one of those has expired. And so, that's already, those results are better than what we are seeing over in Africa. So,
okay.
I indeed expect our results to be better.
Let's back up to Ebola 101. What are the symptoms of Ebola?
Yeah, so those are great questions, because within that question, that brings up many of the things of why it is hard to diagnose, especially over in Africa. So the initial presenting symptoms can very much be consistent with what they may see over there with malaria or with other infectious diseases. So in other words, basically fevers, headaches, malaise, in other words, muscle pains or myalgias or not, feeling well, diarrhea, vomiting, abdominal pain. So those are starting to progress more into the dysenteric types of symptoms.
Okay.
Not really until it gets to the point where it's in the later stages where we unfortunately proceed into those hemorrhagic symptoms. Doesn't really begin to distinguish itself as what we call a hemorrhagic.
Okay, I'm going to have to cut you short. We're going to have to cut you short there. We're going into a break, Kim.
Okay.
If you hold on, we're going to talk about symptoms when we come back. 877-895-5410, and we will be right back. Abigail Adams said, "A patriot without religion, in my estimation, is as great a paradox as an honest man without the fear of God." CSE Talk Radio welcomes Melody Cederstrom with Discount Gold and Silver Trading, a Christian company founded on the principles of truth and honesty that provides a quality product, quality service with competitive pricing. Melody and I are working together to bring you the best and most honest products and prices in the gold and silver market. Let Melody's nearly 20 years of experience in gold and silver trading be your investment guide. She can assist you with your gold and silver purchases. Honesty, truth, and integrity are her way. Call Melody and tell her welcome to CSE Talk Radio, and then let her be your gold and silver dealer. Visit Melody online at dgscoins.com or call Melody Cederstrom at 1-800-375-4188. That's online at dgscoins.com or 1-800-375-4188. BioAg, working with nature naturally. Murray Bast has been my guest several times here on CSE Talk Radio. You know now he's devoted to helping farmers and ranchers. Murray is my common sense voice for improved agriculture. Farmers and ranchers are vital to any nation. Our food and how it's grown is more than just planting a seed, slopping the hogs, or feeding the cows. There's a science to it, and it takes a special kind of people. Since 1982, their mission has been to produce and supply products and services that warrant and support true sustainable agriculture. BioAg is a major supplier of natural products and services for livestock and crop production. Become a BioAg distributor. BioAg consultants and distributors are devoted. BioAg.com has all the products you need to improve your bottom line as well as improve your products and health. Visit bio-ag.com or call them at 1-800-363-5278. That's 1-800-363-5278. C&J Dog Food is a family-owned business taking pride in caring for your pets. They raise pets. They own pets. They love and know dogs. C&J Dog Foods carries three special dog food formulas that are nutrient-packed and designed with your furry animal's health in mind. For your puppy, chicken and rice formula. For your adult pets, you can choose either a chicken and rice formula or beef and rice formula. C&J Dog Food is formulated to meet nutritional levels established by the AAFCO, meeting the nutrient profiles for all stages of your pet's life. Sold in 1-unit 50-pound bags, available for pickup and bulk orders, or they offer 20-pound boxes that are easy to handle and convenient to store, as well as home delivery. Call for pricing, 417-452-2781. CJ Dog Food, your pet deserves the best. As breeders themselves, they know dogs. Call today, 417-452-2781, or visit them online at cjdogfood.net. And we have returned. You're listening to CSE Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I'm visiting today with Dr. Kimberly Gandy, and we're talking about the Ebola virus, and we're going to kind of get down to Ebola 101. We do have a caller real quick. Kim, I want to go to Steve from Illinois. Steve, how are you today?
Yeah, good, thank you. I just want to make a quick question, and then I'll hang up and listen to her answer.
All right.
They're saying 150 people traveling to America every day from the Ebola area. And the screening that I'm, at least with what I'm hearing on the news, doesn't really appear to be that effective. What are we going to do in this country if we have several people that have traveled here, and for whatever selfish reason or who knows, they develop Ebola and they don't come out and seek treatment, and in the process they're affecting other people? Is this kind of a worst disaster scenario, and how would we deal with it?
Right, and I think those are very big questions, and they're obviously being asked quite frequently these days, and so I think it definitely becomes difficult if we get into environments where people fear seeking treatment. And so I think that's why it is very critical at this point that we don't appear, that we don't get the impression that we would be ostracizing people that might have symptoms of the disease, because indeed, I think it is very hold that if someone does manifest evidence of the disease, that they do seek evaluation quickly. I know there is a lot of effort being spent to figure out what the best method is for that evaluation to move through. So in other words, obviously it would probably be better if these individuals did not present to an emergency room. In other words, if some of this care could be handled through phone calls. But there is quite a bit of effort being devoted currently to figuring out the best way to handle those particular measures. You know, one other thing that is also being done is there are questions, so it's not just symptoms. So when you say it's ineffective at screening, we don't really have data to say that it's ineffective right now. We can hypothesize that it would be, especially as we learn more about incubation periods, or what we should say, you know, different types of incubation periods. But I think that's why it then becomes important for the communication doors to be open as far as following symptomatology.
Now, my question was going back to the symptoms 101. When you were giving these symptoms, and what is that going to do? I mean, are people going to be afraid when they come down with the flu this winter or this fall? You know, because those the fever and the muscle pain and that kind of thing, that kind of goes along with our flus that we have going around every year.
Right. So to answer your question, are people going to be afraid? Yes, I think people are going to be, you know, more afraid than they otherwise would be. But I think that's one of the things that we very much need to, you know, keep in check is if someone doesn't. So we, from what we know about the disease process so far, the disease is. It definitely comes from being in contact with people that have been in that area and from being in contact with people that are symptomatic. And it's not, to our knowledge, an airborne disease. So in other words, it's not just, you know, it's not like influenza. So it is definitively not as communicable as influenza. So one has to be in contact with bodily fluids. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that we're going to have to keep an eye on as we move into this winter season.
Well, and a question that came up here on the email, somebody just sent me a question, is this going to be like when the smallpox came in, because people didn't, in Aztec particularly, just about wiped them out because they had not had any, they had no immunity. They'd never been, you know, well, they'd never been introduced to the disease before, so in contact with it. So is that going to be kind of the, I'd say from what we've already seen here, you said we've already had, did you say 60 or 70, 60 treated here in the United States for it and only one fatality?
No, six.
Six. Okay, I thought you said 60,
yeah.
And I thought, man, I hadn't heard that many.
No, I'm glad we said that. I apologize. But
No, it has to be.
two in Atlanta. So one nurse, one physician were treated in Atlanta, and those were the first two cases. Then there was the Thomas Duncan case in Texas.
Yes.
There's the individual that had come into contact with Thomas Duncan in Texas that is currently being treated and has a diagnosis of Ebola. And there were two individuals treated in Nebraska.
Now, my question is, with the treatments, the ones that are still being treated and they are not fatal at this point, are they have not really been given the all clear yet, have they?
Some of them have. Yes.
Okay.
In fact,
okay.
The two in Atlanta are discharged from the hospital. In fact, the first individual, and this is definitively a pay-it-forward story, if you will, the first individual, Dr. Kent Brantley, that was treated in Atlanta, has recovered and even has donated blood from which you know, plasma or serum was taken for antibodies to give back to the two patients, It was taken for two patients in Nebraska. It was used in one, and then the other one ended up not having the disease.
And I think that'll be a benefit here in the United States because we do have that technology and that ability to ward against it by those that have survived.
Right. And the thing that we have as much there, as you well know, is that we're not going to have the number of survivors, thankfully, right? So we're not going to have that many people that have been infected here. What we can also say is that the people that were treated in Atlanta, the first two, were treated with something called ZMAP. That actually it's a synthetically produced antibody that has been produced by a company called MAP. Those supplies have been depleted now, you know, have been used for treatment, but literally they have received a grant to actually increase those supplies and facilitate the trials in the near future.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Anyway, we're on the right track, so to speak. Well, nationally.
Go ahead. There are definitely efforts being spent to boost up as quickly as possible any types of therapies that we do have. You know, unfortunately, there's only so fast that we can make some of this stuff. There are limitations to how quickly we can ramp up antibody production in the year 2014. But believe me, there are efforts being expended now to do that. Even so much so that, as oftentimes happens with these things, you know, it's sort of not moving from one fire to the next, right? So there are many of the funds, many of the resources that, you know, were being spent on development for treatments for other medical diseases are now being diverted directly to the treatment of Ebola.
Well, and my question was earlier, the reason I asked that about the flu symptoms is, you know, and of course I think we have to use some common sense, but we won't always know if we've been in the contact of somebody. But since it is bodily fluids, I think you would know a little bit about who you had been in contact with. I am concerned about those in our medical field, and I am concerned about some of those that are doing a lot of traveling that have to and in and out of the country. And I know we talked yesterday about just having you on the first two segments, but if you could stay on the third segment, I would appreciate that. I want to talk about what we talked about on the phone yesterday about the international and the national way of handling this. You know, and right now I have an article in my hand where people are starting to get scared because it's already here now. And so now 67% of the folks here in the United States are wanting to see some kind of travel curbs. They want to see something done for the traveling coming in from these countries with this Ebola outbreak. And I want to talk about that a little bit, what your opinion is on that. Your calls are welcome at 877-895-5410. That's 877-895-5410. And we will be right back. Talk Radio continues our goal to bring America home. I've made it my mission to help small businesses who are ready to serve America on a national level. CSE Talk Radio can help your business too. I'm proud to bring to you TM Firearms Training. Tim Milligan, sometimes an instructor, always a student. Tim Milligan is TM Firearms Training. He offers training in defensive shooting and tactics to defend yourself, your family, and the innocent. Tim has been teaching defensive shooting professionally for over 4 years. years and in private sessions for over 15 years. NRA certified basic pistol instructor, range safety officer, Tim is a distinguished expert marksman in pistol and revolver. Tim Milligan, sometimes an instructor, always a student. Visit tmfirearmstraining.wordpress.com. That's tmfirearmstraining.wordpress.com or call 319-371-6698. Let CSC Talk Radio help your business go national.
It was once said, the pen is mightier than the sword. We're living in a time now that is demanding the Republic to speak up. Grievances need to be put before our elected officials. They need to hear from you. Mainstream media isn't telling the constitutional truth about issues in this nation. There's an agenda afoot that's being used against we the people. Commit now to send at least one of your representatives the pen. There will be no excuse for their lack of knowledge. Pick your state or national representatives and senators or even your governor. It's time to bring common sense back into our governing. Let the Republic be heard. The Pen is a bi-monthly publication for only $24.95. Order yours and order theirs. $24.95 per subscription, CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Order four and get the fifth one free. For credit card, visit csctalkradio.com. CSC Talk Radio listeners are reaching out to bring America home.
Are you an inventor? Or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? InventHelp, America's leading invention company, has inventors' information you can have free. InventHelp has been helping inventors since 1984, with sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. Get free information of interest to new inventors from the company whose patent referrals have helped secure more than 7,000 patents. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-577-2657. That's 1-800-577-2657. Get your free inventor's information by dialing 1-800-577-2657. That's 1-800-577-2657.
Is the right to keep and bear arms a divine right? Should Christians surrender their firearms if the law requires? Does the New Testament require Christians to always be nonviolent, to keep or not to keep? Why Christians should not give up their guns? Timothy Baldwin, along with his dad, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, have authored this book to help you understand or simply secure what you already know about Christians and our Second Amendment. This book is available for you now. $17 includes shipping and handling. On the heels of each national tragedy, schools and other places have become gun-free zones. Many in government are attempting to disarm Americans. To Keep or Not to Keep will equip you with the scriptural knowledge needed to make a wise decision about the defense of your family, community, and country. Order today. Send $17 to CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Or order online, csctalkradio.com.
We have returned. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann, and I'm visiting today with Dr. Gandy, Dr. Kimberly Gandy, and she's asked me to just call her Kim. And as we're discussing Ebola, Kim and I were discussing this yesterday on the phone about what should be done internationally and what should be done nationally, and we kind of look at it two different ways here. And like I was saying before we went into the break, Kim, that now they're saying 67% of those polled want something done regarding the travel from these countries. What is your opinion on that? What is the best way to handle that?
Yeah, I think the best way of handling that is definitely proceeding with those individuals that have the most knowledge on how all these issues of travel are managed, and proceeding through the standard measures that we have used to determine sort of travel restrictions, et cetera. As I think with this, as with all of the issues surrounding Ebola, our policies are going to evolve. And so we are going to learn more about how we should proceed with travel restrictions and movements, et cetera. I mean, I think right now I am sure that this very much relates to how we are handling our management of the disease as a global community. You know, I think we're doing the same things right now that many others in the international community are doing, right? So England's policy is very similar to ours. So in other words, we instituted our policy of screening all those that were coming in from West Africa in the five major cities, which should accommodate up to 94% of the people that are coming in. As one also needs to realize, some of the people that may have been in West Africa in what we would call an incubator period wouldn't be coming from West Africa.
That's right.
Right? So they would potentially be coming from other places in Europe. And so it is going to be very difficult to, screen entirely effectively. And so it is something that, all these policies need to be undertaken with an extreme amount of forethought. And to be honest with you, they're going to be things that, people that are really trying to get in are going to think about. That, those of us who don't sit around thinking about, ways to, avert the system aren't going to think about. And so there are people that do this all day, right? So, as much as I concentrate on science and medicine and technology, there are people that, focus on and travel issues, right? And so I think right now, this does relate to some of your concept of the best way of dealing with Ebola overall is to still deal with it where it is raging, and that's in West Africa. So in other words, anything that we can do to continue to help the efforts in West Africa is going to do nothing but make it better for us here. It's oftentimes hard to see that, right? So in other words, it's been going on in West Africa since March. Doctors Without Borders was discussing this as a problem in March of this year. It has taken some time until the rest of the world has necessarily shown as much interest in it. And let's just be honest, we are isolated, and so most of our interest actually sort of focused when we started seeing cases. I think there was an interest when the numbers started increasing, and then there was a definitive huge interest when the first two infected Americans were sent back to the United States. That's when the alarm bells were sounded. And my particular bias, and this, of course, is, with the healthcare sort of background, et cetera, is that, those two individuals that went over there, they are essentially, they were our military, right? So these were, they might not have had guns, but they had what we could equip them with to go off and fight something that, could threaten our beings just as much as anything. And they were our military over there fighting the disease, and, we brought them back to treat them. We have done nothing but benefit from that. Because, A, we have learned more about treating the disease, and, B, they were affected in the effort, to combat the disease. So I know that was a very long-winded, answer to your question.
That's okay.
And it's not an definitive answer, but those are, some of my opinions.
Well, that's okay. That's what I wanted, was your opinions. Well, in the article that I have from Natural News, something that they were talking about, and we're seeing all kinds of things. They're coming every which direction, the articles and the news and such, saying different things.
Yeah.
This is from the World Health Organization, where they're saying they're concerned because of this 42 day incubation period instead of the 21, that's why these outbreaks are not getting squashed over there, because they're giving people the go-ahead to move about the country, so to speak, and when they do, then it goes somewhere else. So they're having trouble keeping it under control there, according to this particular report. I have another one that I just saw a little bit ago that said, yeah, we've got it under control now. It's much better. But I know that folks, talk about the international issue, I know and understand that a lot of them are trying to make their way to the United States because they believe that they're going to get better care here, and we believe they will too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that we have the better medical facilities.
Correct, unquestionably. So obviously, there are individuals that are doing all they can to, you know, provide resources so that the facilities are better over there. But facilities for care are better over here, which, you know, it's kind of this double-edged sword, right? So it wouldn't make sense. And I'm not saying that every time that anybody behaves when they're ill makes sense. But if our premise is that people are going to come over here to get care, it doesn't make sense that they're going to come over here and hide, right? So the two don't go together. So the premise that they're going to come over here to get care, but then they're going to hide and infect other people, you know, their whole purpose for them coming over here would have been lost.
Absolutely.
Because actually what we are learning about the disease is that if we get it over here and we treat it early, that we can, for all the cases that we've treated over here early so far, we can get a hold of it.
All right.
Right? And so that's what we know. We also know that the cases that we bring over here and treat, they then become a source of antibody. Right? So anybody that recovers from the disease, for what we know, has antibodies to the disease for up to 10 years. I am going to be a bit of a devil's advocate, because I think one of the things that is probably going to be potentially more worrisome in the long term, that we really don't know what the implications are, because we don't know what the infectivity is. We know that Ebola has been found in the semen up to, you know, 3, even some reports, even 6 months later, right? So that's a particular problem. And so there are, I mean, when you look at reports now, they're starting to make comments about, you know, sexual activity amongst, people that recover, which, you know, is a very key thing that I don't think was, you know, in the initial sort of responses about behavior. Up to this point, that was something that we thought distinguished this disease significantly from HIV, was that patients, it was a short sort of sickness period, but actually very acute. So in other words, in all honesty, when people are very sick and infectious with Ebola, they don't feel like having sex, for lack of a better word.
So but when they get back,
so when they get back sick, it wasn't an issue, which was different than HIV.
All right, and we are into another break, Dr. Gandy, I want to thank you, Kim, so much for being with us today and kind of giving us a 101 lesson. We're going into a break, and we will be right back. CSE Talk Radio has a goal to bring America home. I've made it my mission to help small businesses who are ready to serve America on a national level. At WillieSmoothRevolvers.com, Bill Walters is your personal gunsmith, specializing in action work and repairs on most makes and models of double-action revolvers. Repair and enhance the actions of many semi-automatic pistols. Visit WillieSmoothRevolvers.com. Whether hunting, competition, or tactical work, WillieSmoothRevolvers.com is the gunsmith shop for you. CZ Engineering cares about safety. Protect your horses from life-threatening injury by using safety post caps. Find safety post caps at your local farm supply or request a sample package by emailing them at sample@cze.com. Safety post caps for the safety of your horses and livestock. Visit cze.com because safety comes first. Support the businesses who support common sense and CSE Talk Radio.
Are you one of the millions of people who take pills for pain management? Then listen up. The breakthrough topical pain creams from RX Topical Relief may help reduce your pain without needing to take a pill. Topical pain creams combine the benefits of multiple medications for a greater effect without many of the side effects from pills such as addiction, nausea, and dizziness. In fact, topical pain creams bypass your GI and liver to minimize absorption into your bloodstream. If you are in pain and have private health insurance, call RX Topical Relief today and see if you qualify for topical pain creams. The good news is that there will be very little or no out-of-pocket expense if this prescription is covered by health insurance. Call 1-800-318-0800. That's 1-800-318-0800. Call 1-800-318-0800 today. That's 1-800-318-0800. 1-800-318-0800. RX Topical Relief topical creams are currently not available for Medicare and Medicaid patients.
Hemby Dairy Supply has gone above and beyond the call of duty for all their dairy customers. Many of you men call Hemby Dairy Supply to inquire about certain products. When all is explained, you men make the wisest of all statements. I need to ask my wife. Well, Hemby Dairy Supply female employees are wise and can help you make those decisions that just might keep you out of trouble and perhaps even make you the hero of the day. Let Hemby Dairy Supply ladies assist you in making those hard-to-decide dairy supply decisions. And women, Hemby Dairy Supply can help you too. If you need male second opinion, let the Hemby Dairy Supply men assist you. Call them now at 1-800-306-8937 or shop online at HambyDairySupply.com and let the Hemby Dairy Supply staff of wives and husbands help meet all your dairy supply needs. That's 1-800-306-8937. Hemby Dairy Supply for all your dairy supply needs.
Affinity 4 is making it easy for you to stay connected with friends and family with their new senior-friendly wireless phone. This Affinity 4 phone features large buttons with an easy-to-use keypad, dedicated speed dial buttons, nationwide coverage on one of America's largest networks, and more. With its dedicated emergency call SOS feature, not only can you stay connected, but you also have the peace of mind knowing that in an emergency situation, you're protected. Plus, it's the only senior-friendly phone that allows you to give back to this radio station. That's right. Through Affinity 4's Give Back program, the proceeds will be donated to this radio station each month. This offer is available while supplies last, so don't wait.
Call 1-800-311-2648. 1-800-311-2648. That's 1-800-311-2648.
Returns. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. We've been talking about Ebola with Dr. Kimberly Gandy. And I guess what we found out is we know what we know and we don't know what we don't know. We're going to learn as this, as we see more of it, unfortunately. We have learned, we have survivors here in the United States. And I will post all of the articles that I have today, that I used today on the air, that I referred to on my website later this afternoon. I will have that done, and you can go and look at those. I think you'll be particularly interested in the one from Natural News. It had a lot of information in that, and again, I think the idea, the thing is, we need to stay calm and not and use some common sense and just be prepared. And there are places, and even in with the Natural News, they have some links and such that you can go and check on what you need to do. Now, I want to go on to another issue today, and we will come back tomorrow with something else. But today I have the Defense Department is focused. They should be focusing on our war on ISIS with ISIS, although we say we're not at war, and not climate change. Well, this article is coming from the New Daily Signal, and it's written by Nicholas Norris. As world leaders remain locked in on the threat of ISIS, the U.S. Department of Defense has laid out its plan to fight a different battle, ice caps. Did you wake up this morning concerned about the ice caps? Did you wake up this morning concerned about such things as climate change, global warming, that we need to put our Department of Defense on call, on hold, on the job there for that, to fight it? In a new report, the DOD argues that climate change poses immediate risks to the U.S. national security because the warmer temperatures, rising sea levels, changing precipitation patterns, and more frequent and intense storms. There are just two small problems with such an assertion, he says here. One, none of these climate changes are actually occurring in the amounts that would present an immediate risk. Two, the administration's economy crushing carbon regulations that would choke off affordable energy sources wouldn't make a difference even if climate change did pose a threat. Well, coming from, this is a really good article, and this is coming from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the things that they actually say in their scientific reports do not go along with it being a high risk. So much so that we need to jump on the wagon here and go after it. The droughts aren't a problem, it says here. It says that there's several things here that are not issues, that the rising level of the sea is only 3.1 millimeters per year. Only 3.1 millimeters per year. And that is not a significant increase. I wish I had time to give you this entire article. I'll tell you what, I'll put this one on the website as well, because you're really going to enjoy reading this one. Anyway, if it was going to be the high risk that they say it's going to be, it would have to be a lot more than the 3.1 millimeters. It says, indeed, the 3.1 millimeters per year increase is actually on par with the past century's level of rising sea levels, and it has since slowed down. Furthermore, climatologist Judith Curry says it is clear that natural variability has dominated sea level rise during the 20th century, with changes in ocean heat content and changes in precipitation patterns. Now, if you remember, we had an article from NASA. They couldn't figure out why the ocean wasn't getting hotter. They couldn't figure it out. It's not going along with what they've been saying. But the International Panel of Climate Change, their report within this article is quite interesting. It says the climate changing and the extent of how much man-made emissions are contributing to its high debate is highly debated. But it is clear in this report, and I've skipped around a lot here, so I know you're having trouble following, because so am I. But it is clear that climate change is not imposing the immediate risk that the DOD purports. Even more troubling, the regulations restricting America's energy use to combat climate change will do nothing but reduce economic growth and resources available for either humanitarian efforts or to grow international economies. Why would they chase after something that the statistics and the science is proving that it's not an immediate risk? Now, they're saying you can go ahead and debate what's causing and not causing it. They're not saying it doesn't exist, but they're saying it is not an immediate risk. Nothing they have ever said has actually happened. It says Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel remarked that climate extremes in Australia are worrying leaders there. Well, they apparently aren't too worried about the Australian government recognizing the economic hardships its carbon tax imposed on its families and businesses decided to repeal it. Military preparedness for changing climates and difficult circumstances that our armed forces must face is one thing. But to pose climate change as an immediate risk when evidence suggests otherwise is nothing short of fear-mongering, woeful ignorance, and politicization. Folks, this is a waste of money, and it is negligence against the American people that they would put this above the immediate things, such as maybe Ebola, such as maybe ISIS, such as maybe other things. But to think that we can put the Department of Defense in charge of climate change is ridiculous. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. This report is something I really think you're going to enjoy. It gives a lot of statistics, and it's not coming from the other side. It's coming from these statistics in here are coming from the International Panel of Climate Change, which is what they rely on. Even though the statistics on the paper that they have kept say it is not an immediate risk, they're claiming that it is. And that they need to throw money at it, and they need to do this and do that, and ignore the immediate problems that this nation truly has. Ignore that, I know they're not totally ignoring it, but why would this be of immediate risk and need at this time in this nation, when we have so many other things? We're dead broke. And they're going to throw money at this through the Department of Defense? I don't understand it. It's time to put some common sense into these things. I will make these articles available for you today on my website. You just go there to the blog page, www.csctalkradio, and there's a menu bar for blog. You can read them. You can make your mind up, and we can work together. We can do this, folks. We can bring America home.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
877-959-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-959-MY-TV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-959-MY-TV. That's 877-959-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call 877-959-MY-TV. That's 877-959-MY-TV.
Attention Americans with no health insurance. If you did not enroll under Obamacare, the deadline has passed and you could be liable for a tax penalty. There are affordable options available, but you need to act now. Call 800-212-4972. Health Markets Insurance Agency has thousands of options nationwide and can help you get the government subsidies you deserve to help lower the cost of health insurance. Under the law, if you have special qualifying events such as marriage, loss of job, or moving, you may still be entitled to Obamacare coverage. At Health Markets, our service is free, and we do the work to help you find the right coverage at a price that fits your budget. Call 800-212-4972 now. That's 800-212-4972. Health Markets Insurance Agency is the DBA or assumed name of Inspire Insurance Solutions Incorporated, which is licensed as an insurance agency in all 50 states and D.C. Service and product availability may vary. Agents may be compensated based on your enrollment in a health plan. HMIA 000365.
Dr. Michael Kaufman isn't holding back, but speaking the truth. Truth is tough, and we have a lot to learn here. Radical Islam is not knocking on our door, but it's in our house, and a very real threat to America. What is Islam, and what is the true belief of those? Are they all radicals? Is there a soft side to Islam? Dr. Kaufman's book is a quick study, and will reveal much to you, helping all of us understand the threat of Islam to our United States of America and our American way of life. We are and were a Christian nation. Why are our leaders denying this? Is there a plan to take America for the global Islamic state? Yes. Order now. $16.99 includes shipping and handling. P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Or order online at csctalkradio.com. Oh, and one more thing. This book is made in the USA. Order your copy of Radical Islam in the House. Only $16.99.